Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is towards the beginning of the Bible. We continue on in our Gospel of Mark series in Sunday school class. So if you're interested in that next segment of that, we went to Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. And this morning we're going to preach a message that kind of lines up a little bit with Memorial Day. And at least some thoughts from that. The title of this morning's message is Lest Ye Forget. There are things that God does not want us to forget. There are things that God wants us to remember. Tonight we mentioned we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper and do this in remembrance of me. There are certain things throughout the Bible that he teaches us clearly and plainly over and over that he wants to make sure that we let these things dictate and lead and guide our lives. One of the things that last week when we looked at Mark chapter 8, you'll remember when it said, "And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto him, Why reason ye because of that ye have no bread?" And he's speaking to the disciples, so he was trying to give them instruction, but instead they thought Jesus was upset because they only had one loaf of bread. But he makes his accusation. He says, "Perceive ye not, neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not." This next phrase we didn't mention last week. We kind of did it on purpose to remind us this week of it. "And having ears, hear ye not." It says, "And do ye not remember?" One of the things he was saying to them that they were struggling with was, you don't remember. He had just fed 4,000. They knew because they helped serve it. He had fed earlier that they saw feed 5,000. And they knew because they helped serve it. And he says, look, do you not remember this? And there are certain things in the Word of God that we will need to remember if we truly want to see those things that God wants to see in a spiritual type perception or hear those things that God intends for us to hear in the idea of God speaking to our hearts. And remember the title of last week's message was, "And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand?" How is it that you do not understand? There's certain things that we should know. There's certain things we should understand and that we should grow and that we should learn from. And I'm thankful for a Memorial Day. And I'm thankful because of the fact that we are forgetful people. I'm thankful for that every time that we observe the Lord's Supper, it reminds me once again of what Jesus Christ did, the blood that was shed, the body that was offered, all those different things. I'm thankful for that, the fact that he puts things in remembrance. And throughout the week, I've been studying and figuring out exactly, hey, God, what is it that you want me to bring as an emphasis of what we need to be reminded of? And there's a number of things that were set up as memorials that are found in the Bible. Number of things that he told us to do in remembrance or to remember. And I'm thankful for Memorial Day. First, I'm thankful for the unspeakable, precious sacrifices men and women have made for our freedom. And second, I'm thankful that we actually set a day aside to honor and commemorate these sacrifices. We so easily forget what is truly important in life, especially that which others have given us. And you see memes, you hear people catch phrases of things such as like, it's more than just a three-day weekend, it has a meaning. You know, freedom was not free, all those different things, and they all have meaning and purpose. And so this morning, there is something I think God wants to remind us about. There's something he does not want us to forget that's easy to forget. Something that we must remember if we want to have a successful Christian life. And that thought this morning is we need God's power. We cannot do things in our own strength. We cannot do things in our own might. The history of the nation of Israel through the times of Judges revealed that not just Americans have a foggy memory. Time and again, Israel forgot her God. Israel's history is rich with miracles of God's deliverance. And it's with the children of Israel's memory that the Lord takes notice of or has a problem with. Judges 8:34 puts it this way, and the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Israel's history should serve as a memorial to us of what happens when nations forget God. Their forgetfulness stages their national downfall. And our American history, too, is also rich when it comes to leaders who knew the Lord and whose heart's desire was to establish and maintain a nation in which the gospel of Christ could be freely propagated. They recognized that at the heart of the need for freedom is a need for every person to have liberty to know and worship God. Many of these leaders sealed their desire for this sort of freedom with their blood, sweat, and tears as they served in their military capacities. Ronald Reagan said of George Washington, "The image of George Washington kneeling in prayer in the snow is one of the most famous in American history. He personified a people who knew it was not enough to depend on their own courage and their own goodness and their own strength. They must also seek help from God, their Father and Preserver." And as I mentioned already, there's many memorials and remembrances that are found in the Bible. But this morning, let us remember this. We need God's help and God's strength and God's power. Many of us try to live day after day in our own strength and our own power, and we don't understand why God doesn't bless. Many of us try to live in a way that we feel like we only need God at certain times and for certain things, where He tells us and reminds us that without Him we can do nothing. We are in a battle, and we are in a spiritual battle, and we need to fight in a spiritual way. We need God's power. We need God's might. And if we're ever going to make a difference that will count for eternity, we must have God fighting for us. So this morning, we're going to kind of turn through the Bible a little bit. We're going to look at different passages and different thoughts that hopefully will remind us in a topical type message, lest ye forget that you don't need God. Lest you forget that you think you can do it in your own strength and your own power. Let's look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter number 20. I love these verses. These are the promises that are given to the nation of Israel. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 20, look what the word of God says in verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." I want you to take notice there. Brought you up out of the land of Egypt. He says, I don't want you to forget something. I brought you up out of Egypt, and I did it in a miraculous way. And over, we're going to look at it in a little while, that one of the greatest battles that was ever fought was God delivering the nation of Israel from the hand of Pharaoh. And he says, look, you don't have to be fearful here. Be not afraid. Why do we not have to be afraid? For the Lord thy God is with thee. And we consider all the different things. He says, when he goes out to battle against thine enemies and see his horses and chariots and people more than thou, he says, even when you see everything they have, don't be afraid. Why is that? Because God is going with you. Verse number 2, and it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto the battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For, I love this verse, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you. And look, he says, to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. We need to let God fight our battles. Now, we continue on fighting, obviously. The Bible, Paul talks about how he fought the good fight. And yes, but we don't do it in our own strength. We become a vessel that God fights along with us, or we fight along with God. We become a vessel in the hand of God. I began thinking about some of the great battles that happened in the Bible. You think about how God delivered some of these battles. You think about Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. There's no way that just because they walked around, because they shouted, those walls fell down. It didn't happen. It was because God fought that battle for them. They listened. They obeyed. Even though it didn't make sense, they continued on fighting this battle. And as we consider Memorial Day, whenever I consider Memorial Day or even Veterans Day or 4th of July, they all have their own special meanings. It reminds me that we're in a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual battle. There is something that we must do. And in that strength and that power ourselves, we're not going to accomplish anything. But if we let God fill us and God's power and God's strength, we can do supernatural things. You think about the story about Gideon's battle, how many came out to fight a huge number, how God sent this group home and sent this group home and sent this group home and brought it down to a very, very small, minute group compared to such a great army that they were fighting against. But who won that battle? It definitely wasn't Gideon. It definitely wasn't because how they blew the trumpet or because how they smashed the glass jars or pitchers. No, it was God that won that battle. It was God's power. And I think about David fighting against Goliath. And what did he say? All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. It's God's battle, and he has chosen to use us as part of his army. 2 Chronicles 20:15 says, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." We are part of God's army. He has given us a plan and a purpose for his life. All he has asked us to do is to surrender. All he has asked us to do is to be his servant. And he will lead us and guide us. And you saw story after story after story in the Old Testament about great battles that happened. And you saw how God was able to do supernatural, miraculous things through the people who were willing to submit to him, through the people who were willing to give their lives and give their selves to them. Go ahead and take your Bible to Exodus chapter number 12. One of the things that as I was studying, I found that God tells us to remember over and over, especially to the nation of Israel. He reminds them that he was the one that brought them out of the land of Egypt. And I think about the Israelites fighting for their freedom from the Egyptians. Think about the Israelites fighting for their freedom from the Egyptians. How many times did they pick up a sword? Not once. How many times did they pick up a shield? Not once. You saw, and as I've been reading through, going through the Bible again, reading this through in my devotion time, and going through the book of Exodus, and I read this, and I continued on reminding myself how amazing our God is, how powerful our God is. Those 10 plagues, over and over, he made himself real. He showed himself strong. All was Moses being a willing vessel, Moses going and saying what God told him to say, or picking up the rod that God told him to pick up. Over and over, we see God fighting in the battle. We see God delivering them from the nation of Egypt. We see God bringing this huge nation right out of them and even spoiling the Egyptians. Look what it says in Exodus chapter 12. Look what it says in verse 14. "This day shall be unto you for a memorial." And here, the memorial that they set up, they talked about the Passover. It says, "And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." What is they talking about? Look at verse 24. It says, "And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped." Not only is it a memorial for us to remember, but you see here, there's going to come a time in the day when the children ask and say, "Hey, why is it that we're doing this? Why is it that we're honoring this? Why is it that we're remembering this? Can you please teach me?" And I think, as I mentioned earlier, as I read earlier about how patriotism is something that should be practiced unashamedly, but it's something also we need to teach the next generation. And for just a moment or two this morning in our children's church, I spoke to the children. I know Mr. Don, doing the rally time today, is going to speak to the children about Memorial Day and what it represents. And here, God delivers the nation of Israel. And every single Israelite that had common sense, that was not hard to hear the things that they were hearing, or hard to see the things, or blind to the things, knew that they were not the ones that got themselves out of Egypt. Not one of them would have felt that way after experiencing some of the plagues and watching the rest of the plagues happening to the nation of Egypt. They got to the Red Sea and they're still complaining and they're still whining a little bit and they're still not understanding. They're having ears that are hard to hear and eyes that are hard to see, blind to see. And what is it that's happening? They're there and they're, and what does God tell Moses to do? Let's look in chapter 14. Chapter 14, the Bible says in verse 13, the nation of Israel has been delivered. They're standing on the brink of the Red Sea. The Egyptians are coming after them. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. Forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." The nation of Israel was starting to get concerned. They were starting to get worried. Look what it says in verse number 11. "And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." So, Pastor, what are you getting at? Think about it. They're there. God has just delivered them. In a miraculous, supernatural way, they have just spoiled the Egyptians. They're walking out of Egypt after 100 years of nation, and they're there and they're following the light and this cloud. And as they're following this light and this cloud, they come to the Red Sea. They hear the Egyptians are coming. They become fearful. Instead of crying out to God, they cry out to Moses, the one who represents, and starts complaining. "Wasn't there enough graves in Egypt? Now we're going to die out here in this wilderness." And Moses says, no, be quiet. See the salvation of the Lord. And I love it in verse number 13. He says, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And sometimes I think this is what we must learn how to do, is stand still and see God work. Yes, later on he says, go forward. But there's a picture here where he's saying, if we will take time to stand still, take time to know who God is, take time not to be afraid, take time to remember that God has just delivered them out of the nation of Egypt, that God has just miraculously performed 10 different plagues that they saw firsthand, and they're here and they're fearful. This is their first test. This is their first trial. And they're complaining and they're saying and they're questioning. And what does he say? He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, for the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to the Lord. He says, verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace." The Lord's going to take care of this battle. The Lord's going to fight this for you. So does that mean that we don't do anything? That means we take time to stand still and know that he is God, to be still and know that he's God. And then he says, after we've taken that time, look what it says in verse 15 at the end. He says, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Move forward in your Christian life. Go forward. Know who God is. Know where the strength comes from. Know who has brought you out of here. And time again, he reminds the nation of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Numbers. He says, "Forget not that I brought you out of the land of Egypt." He reminds them, "I'm the one that made you a nation. I'm the one that delivered you. I'm the one that fought this battle for you. I'm the one that gave you the victory. Now come out and serve me." So how do we apply that to today? We need to remember it's God's power and God's strength. It's not our power. It's not our strength. I thought about some familiar verses that reminded me of this. Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ." What's that next word? Which. If you got the right version of the Bible, it's which. He says, I can do all things through Christ, through Christ. I can't do all things in my own strength. I can't do all things in my own might. I can't do anything spiritually without him. But so often we venture out, we fight these battles. We feel like we can fix our family, we can fix our church, we can fix that. But he says, I can do all things through Christ, what strengtheneth me. If you looked up victory verses in the Bible, John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He didn't say, hey, you've overcome the world. He says, I've overcome the world. And because I've overcome the world, I've enabled you and given you the strength and the power to overcome sin, to overcome this world. Why is it that we try to do it in our own strength? Why is it that we try to do it in our own might? The Bible says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the what? The victory. He's the one that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you looked up verse after verse after verse about having victory, about having success, what does it come from? Where does it come from? It comes from God's power. It comes from His strength. That's why we must learn to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't be afraid. Remember what He's done for us. The disciples back in Mark chapter 8, the problem was their heart had hardened. They couldn't hear what God was trying to tell them with their ears. Couldn't see because they were blinded spiritually. Why was it? It says, because you remembered not. How can you not remember what I've done for you? How can you not see the power of God? How can you not rely on me? And that's what he's saying to over and over in the scriptures. Is something that we should not forget. That's what we must learn to fight. But we must learn to fight a spiritual battle. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 and 4 puts it this way. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's not our flesh. It's not our strength. We fight a spiritual battle. Go ahead and take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6, we're reminded about who we're supposed to be strong in. We're reminded that we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. Not our armor, but God's armor. And if we're looking at things that we need to remember on this Memorial Day, yes, we never forget what those who laid down their lives for our country. Yes, we honor them, but it reminds us that there's many memorials in the Bible and there's many things that we need not to forget. And it's not in our strength, not in our power. In Zechariah 4:6, it talks about not by my might, but it talks about how God says in his power, in his strength. Ephesians chapter 6, and it's a familiar passage of scripture. He's coming to the end of this book. Amazing book it is. First three chapters talked about all how we are blessed, all the spiritual blessings. Last three chapters, how we're supposed to live as Christians. And some of the most challenging passages of scriptures that are found there over and over talk about how husbands are supposed to love their wives. And you're like, oh, I do that. Please. Wives are supposed to submit to their husband. He's like, oh, that's what I do. Now, scripturally, seeing things and hearing things and doing it. Don't let your heart be hardened. Truly see what God is trying to teach him there. And in verse number 10, he says, finally, he comes in, my brother, and he's speaking to other believers, be strong in your might. No, it doesn't say that. It says, be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in your confidence. Don't be strong in what you are and the things you've done and your own power. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is where we find our strength. This is where we understand. This is where we begin to see that, hey, it was God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. It was God that saved us. It's God that has done those things for us. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And continues on in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of yours. Or put on the whole armor of America. Or put on the whole armor of this or that. No, he says, put on the whole armor of God. What does the armor of God look like? Let's learn this and understand, because this is what we're supposed to apply to our lives. We're not supposed to try to figure out on our own. We miss and forget who we're even fighting against. He says here, when you put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You're not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil on your own. When you're putting on your own armor, oh, this is what I think I need to say, or this is what I think I need to do, and this is how I think I should handle this, and this is what... No, he says, put on the armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not in your own strength. Well, I can handle this. I can watch this, or I can be a part of this. I can do... No. He said, be strong in the power of his might. And he said, put on the whole armor of God. Then he says, verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Also, so much does it seem like we're wrestling against flesh and blood. So much does it seem like the person next to us is our enemy. So much does it seem like I got to get that person taken care of and that person taken care of. But he's talking about a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare. Who is it that we war against? He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I think the devil or the demons or whoever it is that's attacking you are super excited when you think you can do it in your own strength. When we take our own opinions and we apply our own things to our lives and we try to see things, but we don't see them clearly. So we instead interpret, hey, I'm going to go this way and I'm going to do that. He knows, hey, look, they're not putting on the whole armor of God. They're not depending in his strength. They're depending in their own strength. They're not depending in the wisdom found in the word of God. They're depending in the wisdom that man can come up with. And that's why he says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore. He says, stand, having done all to stand. Now here's your job. Now stand. After you've done all this, after you've rested in his strength and you rested in his might and rested in his power. You've taken on all those things that he says, the whole armor of God. And you can read about the armor of God. There it talks about in verse number 14, it says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. You know what it says? We need protection. That's what it's saying. Hey, look, put on the breastplate of righteousness. You need it. Hey, put on that helmet of salvation. You need it. And he says, pick up the shield of faith. It's something you need. You're not going to be able to fight this battle on your own. You're not going to be able to fight on your own strength, fight in your own power, fight with your own ability. We need him. So as we consider the things that we should not forget, as we consider the things that we're supposed to remember, and like I said, I was really debating or praying or studying or wrestling with what things should we remember. We're in a battle, but the strength is not supposed to come from us. So Pastor, what am I supposed to do? We're supposed to surrender to him. We're supposed to see this and this idea that we have been strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. If we were the strong one, if it was about us, why would we need armor? If it was about our strength and our flesh that we so often depend upon, why would I need armor? Why do I need those breastplates? And why do I need those helmets? And why do I need that shield? Why do I need those special shoes? It's because it's not about us. It's about him. And we need to allow him to protect us. We need to allow him to fight our battles. We need to allow him to be able to do the things that he's called us to do through us. His power, his strength through us. Does that mean we sit and do nothing? That's not found anywhere in the Bible. But it says, stand therefore, having done all to stand. Then let's stand. Let's do what we know we're supposed to do. And sometimes that standing does mean taking an approach to be able to take a stand of faith, by taking a step of faith, by living for him. I understand all those things. But so often we rely on our own strength and our own might. We fail and we fail miserably and we don't glorify God with our lives. Instead, we become a picture of what a failing Christian looks like. I don't want to be that picture. I don't want to be that person that continues to struggle and fail over and over and over. And don't get me wrong, I know Christians struggle. I know Christians struggle with sin sometimes. Apostle Paul talked about it in Romans chapter number 7. But he has given us, by his power, by his ability, we can overcome sin. We should have a victorious Christian life. It's something that is a normal Christian life, to be one that will rely completely and totally on him. You say, well, why do I struggle then? Why do I have problems? Go ahead and take your Bible to one last spot, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. The Apostle Paul here is talking about a thorn he had in the flesh and that he asked God to remove it multiple times. You know what God said? My grace is sufficient. He said, why in the world would God do this? And Paul teaches us that is to help him be humble. He got to experience something that no one else had, and he didn't want him to be exalted above measure. Look what it says in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Say, Pastor, you know, how do I become strong is when we realize that we're weak. Look, it says, Paul saying, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He's saying that even in those moments of weakness, God has taught him that his grace is sufficient. And he says, because God has taught me that, and because I know God will strengthen me, and that God's strength and my weakness will become strong through me. He says, because of that, I'm willing, he says, to glory in my infirmities. And he says, even in verse number 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. But look for the reason at the end of verse number 9, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We don't like infirmities. We don't like the things that Paul said he's going to take pleasure in, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses. We don't like any of those things. Instead, we shun those things. Tonight, we're going to look at Matthew chapter number 5. We're going to look at verses 10, 11, and 12 and talk about how blessed a person is, happy they should be when they're persecuted. How can you be rejoicing in tribulations and persecutions? How can that happen? That's because we realize that when we're weak, God's power becomes real to us. And that's when he's able to work through us. So often we like that in our own mindset and our own things. We don't like remembering certain things. This is one of those things I don't always like to remember. Why is that? Because I want to do things my own way sometimes. I want to do what I feel is right. I want to do what I feel is necessary. I want to accomplish what I think I can accomplish in my own strength, and let God take care of the things that I cannot accomplish, and let God take care of those things that I can't handle. But there are certain things I can handle in my mind. And he says, no. Rest in his strength, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God because you need it. If you want to be able to stand against those wiles of the devil, realize who you're fighting against. It is a spiritual battle that must be fought on a spiritual plane, because if not, you will fail. You will not be able to defeat the devil in your own strength. But it's because what God had done for them. And he told that nation of Israel, don't forget, I brought you out of bondage. Don't forget, I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. Deuteronomy chapter number 20, he says, don't be afraid of them. No matter how big, no matter how bad, no matter how many there is, he says, I'm going with you, and I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to give you the strength to do exactly what I want you to do, whatever the situation is. Rest in my strength. Rest in my power. So today, do we need to remember this? I do. Oftentimes, I think, oh, I can get up, I can preach, I can say something, everything will be fine. No, every day I need to come and say, God, I cannot do this in my own strength. I cannot do this in my own might. God, I am putting on the whole armor of God so you can protect me. And Lord, I am a vessel, a servant, a soldier of yours, that you would fill me with your strength and your power, and I will do those things you've called me to do in your strength and in your power. That's what I want to do today. That's what I desire. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Having done all things to stand therefore. Do not forget, it's not about you. You're like, I don't know how to fix this. America's going crazy. I can't fix it. Stand therefore. Let his power work through you. Submit to him. Surrender to him. Become his soldier. The one he can use, the one he can guide, the one he can direct. And like I said, I in no way, shape, or form do I want to take Memorial Day and take it away from what they have done and what they did for our country. I am so thankful for that. And I'm glad that they take this time to honor this and to remember this. But there's some things that we need to remember. Some things we need to remind ourselves. I'm glad for Memorial Day because I don't know how many times I would take time to remember that unless it was there. But because it's there and we see it, it reminds me every single time. And when we do the Lord's Supper, same thing. I don't know how often I would hope it would be close in my heart and my mind, lest we forget. Lead me to Calvary, you know, all those different things. I want that. But that's why God sets up memorials and reminders. And that's why he said to the nation of Israel, Passover, and when your children ask, we did this because God delivered us. And Deuteronomy, Moses is talking to the people. Remember, he's the one that brought you out of Egypt. Now, when you go to fight, remember, we didn't do anything. We didn't pick up one shield. We didn't pick up one sword. We did exactly what God told us to do, and he delivered us. And that army was greater than any army you're getting ready to face. He says, do what he has asked you to do, and then leave it to him. It's on him. It's his power. It's his strength. Do what you can, and leave the rest up to God. And his power and his strength, realize that this is a battle that he is going to have to fight through you, with you, but submit to him and allow and believe and trust. Don't be afraid, no matter how tough it might look, no matter how scary it may be. He says, I'm going to go with you. This morning, he's willing to fight through you and with you, if you will surrender. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray, and I know that this message was intended for people that were children of God. And Lord, I know the overwhelming theme for our churches is to reach people for Jesus Christ. And God, I know you can do all things. And even in the message today, that was intended on purpose for believers to understand the strength, the power that God has and how we must depend upon them. God, I pray you would convict someone's heart if they need it about the need they have for salvation. And just like a Christian cannot enable or have the strength or the power to do this Christian life or be the Christian you want us to be without your power and strength, God, help that individual that doesn't know you understand that they will never be able to save themselves and that they are sinners in need of a Savior. And God, I believe that you can save someone from just hearing that message. And God, I pray you would draw someone to you this morning. And the audience is big. I've heard many of the people's testimonies that they're Christians on the way to heaven. Praise the Lord for that. But God, to those few that would be here and not know you, or not sure or doubting their salvation, God, would you speak to their hearts? Help them to realize they cannot save themselves. And Lord, just as much as an unsaved person cannot save themselves, Lord, I believe the application can be made that a Christian cannot live the Christian life without the power of God. We are dependent to become a child of God. We are dependent on you to do those things that you called us to do. Remind us, Lord. Remind us over and over again. We need your power and your strength. We need you to be able to help us direct and lead our families. We need you to help us and lead us to make this church what you want it to be. Help us forsake the power of people and embrace the power of God. Seek the power of God. Help us to walk away from man's traditions and ask that God would lead and direct and that the power of God would be upon us and upon our church. God, help us to see in our own lives that so often and so long we have not longed for you. We have not longed for your power and your strength. In our own strength and our own might, we have done so many things in your name with no power and no strength. But Lord, help us. Help us to depend upon your power and your strength, your might. Help us to put on the whole armor of God. help us to realize that without that armor, we have allowed ourselves to be susceptible to the wiles of the devil. Help us to see that this is not a physical battle against flesh and blood, but it is a spiritual battle that's fought in high places. And Lord, that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not fleshly. Help us to fall on our knees and say, God, please use me. Fill me with your power and your strength. Enable me to stand and do those things you've called me to do. Lord, help us not to rely on us, but let us remember that you've told us you will go with us. Even in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, lo, I am with you always. The Great Commission, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of the numbers. But instead, help us to reach and do what you called us to do. In your power, in your strength, in your might. In Jesus' name, amen.